Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. On our show today, we're going to talk a little about SDS, that is sudden death syndrome, in soybeans. But as always, we'd be happy to take your phone call and talk about anything that's going on in your farm or answer any of your questions. Our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can also email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. All right, so we'll get to the AgPhD mailbag in just a second. I guess before we do, I'll just give you a couple quick things on sudden death syndrome.
Well, growing up, Brian, sudden death syndrome for soybeans for us just meant frost. Yeah. That was it. That was the only thing we knew that would kill beans like that. But wow, has this thing spread? It was, oh, that's further east from us, and oh, that's in different areas of the country. No, it's all the way up into North Dakota, northern Minnesota. We're seeing it all over, and this year was quite a year for sudden death syndrome. So, yeah, good thing to talk about.
Yeah, and part of the reason we're talking about this today is there are a lot of people starting to order soybean seed for the next year, and many people switching traits as well. So when you're doing that, just make sure you're asking lots of questions about this, because varieties have different levels of tolerance. There's no straight-out resistance to it, just different levels of tolerance. So make sure you ask that question. The next question you should ask is if your seed dealer can put on Saltro or Olivo onto your seed, because that definitely can help. And then the third thing is fix the drainage. Now is the chance, especially in the Midwest here where we are dry. I mean, we're in the severe drought area, actually, and we are tiling in areas we haven't been able to get into in three. Well, I shouldn't say that. We've been able to get into them. It just hasn't been real fun for tiling because they're getting stuck a lot over the last few years. Right now, it's easy and it's fun. And our guys are rolling, putting tile in right now. And I'd really encourage you to do that as well if you've had sudden death syndrome issues, because a lot of those, it comes back to poor drainage. So I'm not saying in all cases, but I am saying in some cases, you got to take a look at that. Beyond that, I would look at your soil fertility program. It's very common around the United States and Canada for people to fertilize their corn or their wheat. And then they say, well, the soybeans are going to scavenge the nutrients. No, soybeans are not going to scavenge the nutrients very well. Soybeans have far less for roots than corn or wheat, and they can't scavenge very well. And that's part of the problem. So where I'm going with this is pull good soil tests, make sure that your soil fertility levels are good, P, K, sulfur, all the micronutrients, look at your pH, all those things, because the healthier that plant is, the more tolerant it's going to be to sudden death syndrome. And then the final thing I'll say here in our opening segment about sudden death is Fortix right now is the only fungicide that is labeled for sudden death syndrome. You've got to spray right at R1, so that's first flower, with a folate, and it's labeled only for suppression, but it can help. So those are the basic steps I would take to help you with sudden death syndrome, and we're going to talk about these details and a bunch more as we go throughout the show today. But right now, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's now mailbag time with Brian and Darren.
All right, Jason heard us talking about XtendFlex, and he said, which pre-emerge herbicides for any trait to soybeans have you seen work the best? Do you typically need them to be incorporated for them to work to their maximum?
What weed?
Or doesn't weeds? Say. Just what pre-emerge herbicides would be like the best for soybeans.
Oh, okay. So one of the, well, the most important question always to ask is, what weed are we after? What's our number one target weed? And this is something that we talk about often here on the show, because let's face it, everybody's trying to sell you something, and they're going to sell you what they have. That may or may not be the best thing for you. So where I'm going with this is it's so frustrating to me when I talk to farmers who say, oh, I used such and such a product. And I go, well, what weeds were you even after? And they go, oh, I was after Palmer pigweed and water hemp and kochia. And I'm like, well, that herbicide isn't going to kill those weeds. It'll kill some other stuff. But always focus on your number one target first, heavy and hard. So what I mean by that is not just one product. So here's an example. Okay, so I just mentioned Palmer pigweed, water hemp, kochia, and I'll throw in lamb's quarters into that as well. So if you had one of those four weeds, here's the very best thing that you can do. You're going to start with a yellow plus metribuzin plus a PPO, either Valor or Authority. We call that the 3-pre program, and that fits for the toughest weeds that we see throughout the Midwestern United States and Southern Canada in a lot of cases. And I'm talking broadleaf weeds with soybeans because that's where the system really gets hammered in soybeans. We can control grass, piece of cake. But when you use a yellow, and that's either prowl and no-till or trifluralin and conventional till, you use metribuzin and you use either Valor or Authority, all three of those modes of action have very good activity on kochia, lamb's quarters, Palmer pigweed, and water hemp. Very good. So you put all three of them together, and yes, you're going to spend a little bit of money. You're going to spend in the range of $10 to $20. And the biggest factor in spending more money isn't the rate, it's prowl. If you are in no-till or strip-till and you want to use prowl, it costs three times the money of trifluralin. That's just the way it is. Well, I shouldn't say three times, but at least a little more than double. So you can save yourself some money if you want to do tillage. Do you have to use tillage to get the most effectiveness? Absolutely not. You just have to get some rainfall if you don't do tillage. And if you do tillage light. So yes, I actually really love tillage for my Valor or Authority, for my metribuzin, and for my trifluralin, and for that matter, even prowl. I love tillage, but it's got to be relatively shallow. If you get it too deep, you're going to bury stuff, and we don't want that. Now, the trifluralin can actually move up. It can become a gas in the soil. It can move up, but metribuzin won't do that, nor will the Valor or Authority. So they're only going to move down for the most part with rain. So you just want to keep them relatively shallow. But yeah, if you incorporate them, you can get excellent activity. And then early post, I'm probably going to, at least in my area, I'm going to follow with another PPO, either like Flexstar or Cadet, plus a Group 15. So now I will have gotten four modes of action out there, five different chemistries, and I can really attack all those weeds that I mentioned. All right, we're going to talk about sudden death syndrome in soybeans here on Ag PhD Radio right after this.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, mare's tail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
When it comes to commanding herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. Nufarm brings you Panther SC, an animal when it comes to speed of control and long residual on a broad spectrum of tough broadleaf weeds like mare's tail, Palmer amaranth, and water hemp. And did we mention convenience? Panther SC works in pre-plant, pre-emerge, and post-harvest systems and keeps your rotation options open. Nufarm and Panther SC, here to help.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about sudden death syndrome in soybeans. And wow, what a challenge that was in 2020. Also taking your phone calls at 844-44-AG-PHD. Let's head down to Arkansas. We've got Lewis with us right now. Lewis, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
All right, Brian was just talking about soybean pre's, and here we go. You got soybeans in the rotation after rice. So what questions have you got on those pre-emerge herbicides?
Well, after the 9 inches of rain we got, we made a real mess getting the rice out. So we'll have to work it all up and land plane it, and then I water down the middle. So I'll use beds, and I'll put the beans on 38-inch beds with a twin-handle planter. But to put the pre's down, what I've been doing is just after I get done bedding it, I'll put it out after I plant and then hope it rains. And I was wondering how much and what different things could we use and spray it on that smooth ground and then bed on top of it. How deep, you know, you're going to get a, it's going to get in the ground pretty deep.
That's
some of
that.
It.
Yep, that's the problem. And that's what we talk about all the time with tillage, that we don't want to bury stuff. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen when you're working on those beds. So that's the reason why people don't do it that way. I mean, you can certainly try it if you want to, but I don't think you're going to be super happy with it. So let me just see if I'm clear here. You've used pre's, but you just aren't getting consistent enough rainfall to make the pre get activated right away? Or, I mean, is that your number one concern?
Well, if I can get started planting beans by the end of April and May, I'm usually all right. But if I don't get through and it runs into June, a lot of times it's 3 weeks for it to rain.
Yep, gotcha.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're in the same boat that a lot of us are here in the Midwest. If we end up planting late and we have to spray late, that's where our concern is. So, you know, well, you would be timely. Here, let me step back. Okay, on building these beds, you're doing this when in the spring? How soon before planting?
A lot of times got a planter on one tractor and a bed on the
other. That's what I figured. Yep. So you're in that field as soon as you can get in there. In a lot of cases, it's just, it all depends on how wet things are to when you're going to make your beds, right?
Right.
Gotcha.
Sometimes I plant all my corn on stale beds.
Yep.
It's been rained on. But
sure.
I normally can't get that much of it done to do the beans out of way.
Yep. Gotcha. So I don't know what else to tell you here. I mean, for us up in our region, what we'll do sometimes is we'll literally go out and spray in the fall, or we'll go spray early in the spring just as the ground is starting to thaw. But you can't do that when you're going to go build a bed that is going to bury some of that herbicide, or at least move it out of some other areas. So you're going to have inconsistent control, streaks through that field. And in some cases, even right where you're planting your soybeans, you're just not going to have great control because the weeds are germinating much shallower than where your herbicide is at. So I don't think I have a better answer for you than to go plant and you spray. I mean, we do that on a bunch of our strip-till stuff. And yeah, we're hoping for rain. But here's the thing. If you plant a soybean that, let's say it's Xtend or Enlist or whatever, now you've got more options for weed control. And what we'll do a lot of times is, okay, if we don't get the rain and we go, oh man, our pre isn't working, we just go out there with a real early pass on in that particular year of a post-emerge herbicide. And it might mean an extra trip, but that's the risk that we take by spraying late. But I just don't see that you have a lot of choice. I wish I had a better option for you.
That's what I've been having to do. If the pre doesn't work, I'll go, most of them are Liberty beans, and I'll spray
sure.
it. And it just costs you another spraying and
yep.
another $7 or $8 for the spray rig. And next thing you know, you got 8 bushels in weed control.
Yep. Oh, I know. I've been there too, Lewis. It really stinks. But I mean, with your bed situation and rainfall and all that kind of stuff, I just don't know that I've got a better answer. I'm sorry. I wish there was something, but there's just no herbicide that's going to work from several inches down in the ground. And especially if you're making these beds and you're moving stuff over, you would move the herbicide out of between the rows anyway. So I just don't see the spraying early is going to help you. You're going to have to plant and then spray right away and do lots of praying, and hopefully you get the rain, and then it all works out. But, yeah, that's about all I got for you. Sorry.
Well, I've got another question.
Sure, go ahead. Time. You bet.
I got some neighbors. I'm 67 years old, and I grew up with a plow.
Yep.
And I was so proud, and they throwed all them in the fence row. But I got some neighbors that are plowing these beans that are on beds, and they really think they're helping their beans. Well, you're ruining your weed control when you plow that middle, because anytime you break that barrier, the weeds are going to come.
Yep.
Especially when it's 90 degrees and it happened to rain the day after you plowed.
Yep.
But what do they think they're helping?
Okay, so when the more heavy tillage you do, the faster you're going to burn up your soil's organic matter. And what that basically means is you're releasing nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur for your crop. Plus, you're heating that ground up just a little bit more. And early on, that pays. Later on, it doesn't so much, especially in a hot year, hot and dry year. But, you know, it's that organic matter thing that's a really big deal. Because, Lewis, here's one of the things we know in the United States. I'm not sure about this in Canada, but I think the same thing happens in Canada as well for those guys who are listening today. We over-fertilize our corn, or at least we think we do, and then we say, oh, we're going to go to beans and we've got all this carryover residue. That's the average farmer in the United States. Well, no, we don't have all this extra because most people are barely fertilizing enough for their corn or whatever other crop they're raising, and they don't fertilize appropriately for the soybeans. So then when you go out and you plow and you start burning up all that organic matter, releasing more nutrients, you go, oh, wow, this is great. Well, you could have accomplished the same thing if you would have put more fertilizer out there, and then you would have saved, just like you're talking about. I mean, you save on erosion, you save on the weed control, some of these other things. So there are advantages and disadvantages to each system. But yeah, I run into guys every winter when we do our winter workshops around the United States that'll come up to me and go, Brian, I hate to tell you, but I pulled the plow back out again last year, and that's the best beans and the best corn I've raised in a long time. I'm like, well, that tells me you probably need to put more fertilizer on when you're planting your corn and your beans in the future. So that's what that, I believe, is what they're seeing.
Okay. Well, I just couldn't see any advantage to plowing, but I do understand that it may bring some fertilizer to bear. So that might... That may be the reason it looks better.
Yeah, and it's a short-term thing. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to burn up the organic matter, and now you're really going to go backwards. But in the short term, oh, yeah, it looks good. Well, heck, Darren and I have even talked about it on our own farm. And Darren's opposed to this, but I'm like, look, once every 10 or 20 years, I wouldn't mind moldboard plowing. Maybe even, let's call it 20 years, just to stir things up, get things going again. I don't see anything wrong with that if I'm only going to do it occasionally. But if you do it every year, that's the reason why in the United States our organic matter levels have fallen in the last 100 years up until about 10 years ago. And it was because of all the massive tillage that we did. So we were sucking more out of the ground than what we were putting back.
Well, we've got no choice in the rice because we make such a mess getting it out.
Right.
To get it back.
Yep.
Smoothed up where we can water down the middles. But I raised a little bit of corn and a lot of beans. And if I can, I'm just going to put a roller cone right behind where my corn was at.
Sure.
And rebed it and drill beans right on top of them stale beds.
Yep, I got you. Hey, Lewis, it's been great talking to you today.
Thank
we want to wish you good luck down there.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, always a lot to talk about, and it's interesting with some of the different rotations and the way that crops are planted. It does change up your options for control of certain things, like maybe even sudden death syndrome. We'll get back to that discussion right after this.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
I need the solve without the sell.
With NK Seeds, I get people I trust who show me where their hybrids and varieties fit in my field without the heavy sell.
So I get solutions that solve my problems from a partner who knows that success matters.
Find your solve at nkseeds.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at SoilWarrior.com.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
The Pentair Hypro Express Flush Valve reduces plugged nozzles and improves cleanout of your spray boom. Simply flush boom sections with a quarter-turn ball valve and leave your tools in the cab. Plus, installation is easy. Simply remove the existing end cap plug and replace with the Hypro Express Flush Valve. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the End Zone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the End Zone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Talking about sudden death syndrome in soybeans, and we've got Troy Bauer with us right now with BASF. Troy, thanks for hanging on there. We got talking quite a bit when you think about that rice and soybean rotation. We're talking about sudden death syndrome. Would that help if we had another crop in the rotation besides soybeans?
Well, it may in the case of SDF. That's correct, Darren, but it depends on what crop you're rotating to. So if you're rotating to corn, thinking you're going to lower your SDS pressure, actually that will not help. So I guess that's a tidbit for you, and you probably knew that already, but corn is an asymptomatic host for SDS, and it actually thrives very well on that. The fungus that causes SDS thrives on corn, so... there may be some other crops that we can rotate to, but corn is the most common one that we rotate to in the corn belt through here, and that actually doesn't help decrease our SDS.
You know, almost every call that we took this summer from somebody with SDS is, I'm in a corn-soybean rotation, I've got a disaster on my hands, and they're all excited that, well, next year it'll be corn. But that's not necessarily going to help. So what is going to help with, let's talk first of all right, I'm planting soybeans in 2021. What can I do to protect that crop?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that growers that have had SDS in the past need to think about to lower their the impact of SDS on their crop. And probably number one, they need to visit with their genetic supplier and make sure they're getting soybeans that have good genetic resistance to SDF. That would be the first thing. There's some cultural practices that they can employ as well, trying to reduce, increase infiltration through the soil. So if they have good tiling and things like that, that will help. Reducing compaction helps as well. There are some seed treatments in the marketplace that also help reduce SDF symptoms. And Olivo seed treatment is one that provides proven protection for SDS in the marketplace and has been doing a very good job for growers over a number of years.
Talk to us about the Olivo a little bit, because we get calls from growers across the country talking about, well, I'm getting some help on my nematodes by adding Olivo. And of course, we get lots of calls about SDS. So it's definitely a product that's going to help a little more than just one thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. As we talk about SDS, a lot of times, just as you mentioned, growers also talk about soybean cyst nematode. And it's not as if those pests cause one another, but they tend to commingle. So soybean cyst nematodes kind of follow wherever we've been planting soybeans, and as we increase soybean acres, soybean cyst nematodes tend to attack. And then it seems like a couple years later, SDS attacks. And many of the soybean specialist across the Midwest would say that those two pests commingle on just about all the acres out there where we're growing soybeans. And so that's why it's so important to have a seed treatment that will have direct efficacy on both of those pests. And Olivo is really the product that has that proven protection against both the SDS and SCN for growers in their soybean crops.
All right, there are some different rates, and one of the most common questions that we get from farmers is, all right, what rate do I need for SDS versus what rate do I need for nematode protection?
You bet. So for the growers that don't have SDS, we have a SCN rate for Olivo, and that would be 0.6 fluid ounces per unit, but they need to make sure that they don't have SDS if they're going to apply. Generally, for the growers that have both of those pests, they'll get their largest bang for their buck, largest return on investment, with that 1.18 fluid ounce rate that covers both of those pests. So, and as you know, growers also need to be aware that SDS is kind of a two-phase disease. So you can have that below-ground root rot phase and then the above-ground foliar phase. That most growers are very familiar with. But once they have SDS in that field, even if the environmental conditions aren't right, they're going to have that below-ground root rot phase. And so they'll want to use 1.18 fluid ounces of Olivo per unit in that case.
Yeah, it's been working very well this year. We've talked to a lot of growers that invested the money in getting a seed treatment for protection. And you mentioned the first thing, too, pick those good varieties with good tolerance and then add the seed treatment to it. You got a great 1-2 punch going on. Some of the things going on in the field too that we think about with SDS, once that fungus is in the field, how long is it in the soil? And is there anything we can do to completely eradicate it?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think for most of the growers in the Midwest that are in corn soybean rotations, once they have it in the field, that Fusarium virgiliforme pathogen is going to be in the field for a long, long time. And there's really not a lot you can do to get it out of the field. You can rotate to another crop, such as small grains or something like that, improve your drainage, reduce compaction, all those things really help. But you're probably in a management mode once it's in your field. And Olivo does a great job to help us manage and provide protection against that pest.
Now, a lot of times we look at cold and wet conditions and early planting as being, all right, that's a triple no-no here for sudden death syndrome. But this year in some areas they were fairly dry and we still saw sudden death syndrome. Is it just that there's so much of the pathogen out there, or is it just they only need a little bit of time when that seed's in the ground to get in there?
Yeah, a lot of times that infection can occur very quick after germination. So sometimes within the first 24 hours, you can get infection in that seedling. And depending on where you're at, and there's always a number of environmental conditions that growers experience. For the area that I represent, kind of in this western Corn Belt, we were actually set up to have a pretty big SDS year if you planted early. We had a lot of cool rains, and so we were really set up to have it. But it turned off hot and dry, and we didn't get a lot of rain late in the season. So that probably indicates we'll have a lot of the below-ground root rot phase, but not a lot of the above-ground SDS foliar symptoms that we might associate more with SDS.
You know, when we think about BASF, a lot of times we're thinking about the foliar fungicides and plant health. And certainly if we've got a less stressful growing season, we can hold SDS off until later in the year and perhaps negate some of the yield loss potential that it's got. What are you seeing in terms of plant health and fungicide use during the growing season to try to help hold off SDS or at least not let it hurt us as bad?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I'm not aware of any of the foliar fungicides that will really assist us with the foliar SDS symptoms that we see in the field. And I think it comes back to how SDS occurs. You get that Fusarium virgiliforme infecting the root, causing that root rot, and really the foliar symptoms that we see in the plant are a result of a toxin that's produced in the root system. And then when you get those late rains, it'll flush that toxin through the vascular system up into the upper leaves and canopy, and that's when you start seeing that necrosis and sometimes early senescence and early leaf drop, and that has a huge impact on yield potential. So as you think about that, and you think about the toxin moving through the plant, really a foliar applied fungicide won't really help us out in that case.
Yeah, we're just always looking for something here because sudden death syndrome is such a problem. Real happy to have Troy Bauer with us with BASF talking about Elevo, talking about some of the other cultural practices and varietal things that can help you in your fight against sudden death syndrome in soybeans. Troy, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Oh, Darren and Brian, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. We'll talk more about soybeans in this really bad problem called sudden death syndrome and what you can do about it on your farm. We'll also take your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Vasgro brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Vasgro leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shutter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Get tough on herbicide-resistant weeds. Add Tough 5EC into your post-emergence tank mix and increase control of some of the toughest-to-kill herbicide-resistant weeds that plague corn, such as Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Tough 5EC is a selective contact herbicide with an underutilized mode of action that provides faster kill and application flexibility for post-emergence control of key broadleaf weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5EC or visit BelchamUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology, or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Talking about sudden death syndrome in soybeans on today's Ag PhD Radio. And real happy to have Leonor Leandro with us with Iowa State University to talk about that a little bit. Leonor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
And we're talking about sudden death syndrome, and boy, a few years ago, I was under the false impression that, well, that's more of an Iowa problem. We're probably not going to have to fight that in South Dakota, but nope, it's here in the Dakotas now too. So we need to learn a lot more about this. And of course, this year was an especially bad year in some areas for sudden death syndrome. Do you know why that was?
We had an SDS is really dependent on moisture. So those rainfalls that come in July and early August are really important triggers for the onset, the appearance of the disease. And this year in Iowa and much of the region, we had below average rainfall during those periods. And I think that explains a lot of why we didn't see a lot of SDS in Iowa and in some other states. There were pockets, some places in Kansas and Missouri did have disease SDS show up, but the lower moisture rainfall, that was the main reason.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because we want to hope for rainfall around those times because we know it generally helps us with yield, but if we've got SDS out in the field, that could be a bad thing too. So
certainly
Iowa State's been...
The rainfall.
Yeah. Certainly Iowa State's been doing a lot of work on sudden death syndrome. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about what growers need to know to better manage it.
Okay, so the main thing to manage sudden death syndrome is really selecting the best varieties that are out there in the market. So talking to your local suppliers, your extension agents, to really select the varieties that have the best resistance to SDS. And as you know, every year there's new things popping up, and we have a lot of good resistance out there. It doesn't mean that some of the resistant plants won't show some disease, even when the conditions are really favorable, but it certainly does protect yields, and so that's really the number one option. There's also a couple of seed treatments that are now available in these last recent few years, and so that's an extra insurance that growers can decide to use by requesting those seed treatments that are specific for sudden death syndrome. And then anything growers can do to improve their soil drainage. Like I mentioned, SDS is really dependent on soil, on moisture, rainfall and soil moisture. So avoiding soil compaction, establishing tie lines if needed. So just really having a healthy soil that drains well, that's another really key way to manage SDS. And manage for SCN resistance for the soybean cyst nematode, because there's an interaction between SDS and soybean cyst nematode.
I know in the corn-soybean rotation, we don't really get away from a host crop for SDS. How about cover crops? Could we work cover crops into the system and fight this off at all? Is there any cover crop out there that's providing any help?
You know, we've been doing quite a bit of cover crop research here at Iowa State, and I've conducted several trials. So far, we're not seeing anything in the field trials. We haven't seen any suppression of SDS. But some good news about cover crops is that we also don't see an increase in disease. I know in some crops, the timing of killing of the cover crop, like before corn, if it's too close to planting, it can affect the corn seedlings. But so far, we have really not seen either a beneficial or a negative effect of the cover crops as far as disease management. And of course, cover crops have a lot of other benefits for growers. I am doing some work also in controlled conditions, so in the greenhouse and growth chamber, where we amend the soil, we add some green manure, so cover crop material chopped up and incorporated in the soil. And when we do that, we do see a reduction in SDS. We don't know quite the explanation. We think it has probably to do with some either compounds the plants are excreting or some microbes in the soil. So that's something that we're certainly following up in the field to see if at least some incorporation of a green manure or it would be helpful to manage SDS.
Yeah, that's good. Anything we can find that'll help. I was hoping you were going to say, well, the real culprit here is the pigweed, and if we could just ever get a handle on pigweed, we'd have this SDS thing taken care of too.
I wish. It's been many years battling this disease. It's a really complex disease that affects the roots, it affects the leaves, it produces toxins. So it's been a challenge, but there's a big team all over the region and across the country working towards it. And I think we've made a lot of progress. But when we have these very wet years, it will show its ugly head. And it's a pathogen that lives in soil. And so whenever you have an organism that survives in soil for decades, like this one, it becomes a really more challenging to manage. And really using that resistance, that genetic resistance of the soybeans, applying those seed treatments and controlling what you can in that soil moisture is really kind of the key elements. And then, you know, we'll keep working to find even better options.
Well, we appreciate that work. We're talking to Leonora Leandro with Iowa State University. Thank you so much, Leonora. We really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You know, when you think about that, Brian, when we've got a fungus like this Fusarium for sudden death syndrome that's in the soil, the drainage thing, again, becomes a big deal. If we have good drainage, we don't have as much problem with disease. It's another thing that we need to be thinking about.
Yep, that's what I was mentioning earlier in the show. It's still, for me, number one is going to be variety. Number two is going to be seed treatment. Number three is going to be drainage. But they're all really important. On top of that, like I said earlier, I'd take a look at what's your overall fertility program. The more healthy you can make those beans, the more tolerant they are to sudden death syndrome. But yeah, it's a tough one, and we are seeing more and more of it. So hopefully you don't experience that on your farm this coming year. But again, when you're making your seed plans for the 2021 season, just make sure you're talking to your seed dealer about that, because there certainly are some varieties that are quite excellent now on sudden death. Oh, and by the way, Darren, we were talking the other day, what was it, some beans that weren't very good on white mold were good on SDS, and some beans that weren't very good on sudden death syndrome were very good on white mold. And it was like you couldn't get both, it seemed like. It was either one or the other.
Well, here's the challenge, and Leonor talked about this too. There's always new traits, new varieties coming out every year.
Right.
And
yep, lots of them.
It's tough because let's just say 2020 on your farm, you didn't have any sudden death syndrome at all. And you went to all the work of putting in a big test plot, and that was the only one you were going to look at. And you're like, well, none of them had it, so they must all be good. Not necessarily.
Right.
You do need to look around the area, and that's what's been great with sudden death syndrome now being around as long as it has. There's a lot of good data out there and a lot of good trial work being done, a lot of work by the universities and also by private seed companies to try to get ahead of this thing. And I do agree. If we can pick the best varieties, that's good. And if you've got a major sudden death syndrome problem, you're probably going to be a little slower adapter to new things coming out. So, for example, ExtendFlex just got approved. Well, how many ExtendFlex varieties did you have in your plots and in plots around your area? Probably not as many as you would like. So maybe you wait one more year and try and get by without it. Stay with your Extend beans. Or if you're planting Enlist beans, maybe you take the ones that you had last year that you know for sure are going to be good in SDS, and the new ones you just put on a small amount of acres. Maybe you put them on some of the high and dry fields that aren't as impacted by sudden death syndrome as the others, and take some of the risk out of the game. That's the big thing. You've got to manage for what the risks are. And you mentioned, Brian, if you've got white mold and you know this variety is good on white mold but not good on SDS, great, put it over in that field. And if you've got a field where you historically have SDS, improve the drainage, do everything you can with cultural practices, reducing compaction. Those are two big ones. And then put that tolerant variety out there with a seed treatment like a Saltro or an Olivo. It makes a big difference, and I get it. It's another investment that you've got to make. But how much is the investment? A bushel or at worst a bushel and a half of soybeans? You're going to lose way more than that in SDS. And if you say, well, I might not have SDS next year. Yeah, but you are going to have it one or two times out of 4 years. And so, yeah, you spent six bushels over 4 years at worst case scenario. Well, you're going to easily make up for that if you get hit one time by SDS. So it's a big challenge out there in soybean fields. Make sure you're managing the best you can going into next year. We're going to get back into the Ag PhD mailbag here in just a minute. And if you have an agronomic question as well, our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
A history of success means proven performance, but let's call performance what it is. Profitability and boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support, let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Each year brings new and unique challenges to farming, and your operation needs to constantly adapt to meet them. That's why at AgBiome, we're working every day to bring you new and better solutions. Microbial-based solutions that protect your crop and help it reach its full potential. To learn more about how we're doing it, visit agbiome.com. That's AGBIOME.com. AgBiome, feeding the world responsibly. Partnering with microbes for human benefit.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree. In the power lines!
Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor Herbicide Brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy. All the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Revitec fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide, brand new chemistry, three no-excuse modes of action, zero modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag, and you can still get your phone calls in at 844-44-AG-PHD. First one comes from Patel, who says, I've got a soil pH at 8.5. I want to get it down to 6.5. What would you suggest? What information or data do I need? And what are some ways I could do this?
Well, we need to see a soil test, and we need to figure out what raised the pH in the first place. Here are some of the most common things. Number one, too much sodium. Sodium raises pH roughly 4 to 1 compared to calcium. Number two, too much magnesium. Magnesium raises soil pH roughly 1.6 to 1 compared to calcium. Number three, poor drainage leading to more issues with potentially magnesium, sodium, salt. If I look at the soil test, then usually that gives me an idea of what's going wrong. Most of the time in our area, it's drainage first. Once I fix the drainage, then I can take care of any other excesses. But basically, your pH is out of whack right now because you have excess of something. I just don't know what that is. So if you show me a soil test, then we can go from there. I'll tell you what's going on in our farm and what we did. We were talking about lime the other day. We didn't do small enough grids. We were doing bigger zones and bigger grids, some zones that might even be 10 acres and grids of 5 acres. And we used to do a bunch of this, and then we'd lime. Well, the problem with that is we got lime, too much lime, in areas that shouldn't have had, quite frankly, any lime. And so we artificially raised the pH up into the mid-7s, where it was in the mid-6s. Well, for corn and soybeans, mid-6s is perfect. When you start getting into the mid-7s, that's not good, and we were losing 20-plus bushels to the acre on our corn. When you get to 8.5, like where you're at, that is really not good. And yes, you want to do everything you can to get that down. But anyway, when you have excess calcium out there or excess magnesium, a lot of times the correction is, let's get more sulfur out there. Now, sometimes the correction can be, let's get a little more potassium out there, but a lot of times it's, let's get some more sulfur out there and flush some of that stuff out of the ground. So we're putting on elemental sulfur in some of those spots, and that is helping our situation. In our case, I'm not saying that's necessarily true for you, though. Send us a soil test, complete soil tests, and then we can take a look and let you know what we think.
All right. Thanks for the question. This one comes from Brody, and he said, you guys were talking about small flower buttercup as a weed of the week. And he said, yes, skip dicamba, ? No way. Three-way ester with a PPO inhibitor all the way. Lots of different herbicide choices that you could use on that particular weed. Well, thanks for the feedback, Brody. Really appreciate that. We get a lot of feedback on the weed of the week.
Wait, so he's saying we said skip dicamba, or he's saying skip dicamba? Oh, you don't know. Based on his email. Anyway, I would just say we talk, yeah, when he says skip dicamba, I'm guessing we had made some comment about dicamba. We get concerned about dicamba just because of the drift. And even these newer products that have come out, we're still having drift and volatility issues. You've got to be really careful with it. And all we're saying is if it doesn't fit to use dicamba, there certainly are other options out there.
All right, got a couple of fungicide questions here. We're talking about fungicides a little bit on today's show. This is from Mark in Nebraska. He said, I've always put on fungicide and insecticide through my pivot on corn at tasseling time. And on high-yield corn, I'm wondering if I were to do a second shot of fungicide, would you do that before my tasseling time fungicide, or would you do it even later in the reproductive stages?
We've done it both ways. I kind of like the before tassel thing.
He's in Nebraska. Yeah. I would say that too. Now, if you were in an area that got lots of rainfall, had a lot of disease pressure, especially gray leaf spot, you may want to get out ahead of it, but you also may want to do it later. I know some guys in Illinois that have seen some really big yield gains by going back out a couple weeks after that first one that they do after tassel.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks after the first application. So you want to split the applications by 2 and probably 3 weeks. So if it's me, would I go in there at, let's call it V8, V10, and then come back 3 weeks later? Yeah, that would probably be my preference in our area.
I think I would too, but for a couple of reasons. One, you could do it yourself.
Yep.
If you could still drive through that field, and that would be a good opportunity for you to get out there early. Plus, let's just say you have gray leaf spot. A lot of times that can start lower on the plant and work its way up. Why not stop it right now? You can still get coverage all the way down that plant. There's several good reasons why you may do that.
Yeah, but like in his case, if he's putting it through the pivot, he doesn't care. He can do it himself anytime. But The reason why I was going to say in our area is just because the diseases we've had here have not been the diseases that show up super late. But, you know, like this year is a good example. Okay, so our last good rain was July 6th. Well, that was 3 months ago from today. 3 months ago. That was our last good rain. We had 2 inches. Since then, all we've gotten is some sprinkles. So, you know, when you don't have disease pressure late in the season, then obviously going early is really going to pay. But I don't know what the weather is going to be for us. For you, you do know what the weather is going to be. You do know that you have a pivot there and you're always going to be able to continue putting water to it. So if I might try it both ways. I might try it early on some, middle on all of it, and then late on some, and then just see what starts working for you. Because quite frankly, I think it's going to come down to when the disease shows up and which disease it is.
All right. Thanks for that question. Really appreciate that, Mark. This one comes from Michael, also on corn fungicides. He had some quarter-size hail in the middle of July this year. Didn't devastate the crop, but certainly tore it up. And he had a lot of conflicting ideas. That would be a good way to put it. He had corn maturities ranging from 160 to 114 days. Some was tasseling, some was not. He was worried about spraying a fungicide potentially causing pollination issues on some of that corn because it was at all different stages. Also wondering...
Let's stop right there. The fungicide alone is not going to cause pollination issues. What causes issues is certain adjuvants with it. And they're actually in development with some new adjuvants that you could put with. But right now, if you just spray the fungicide and skip the adjuvants, that would solve that problem. But go ahead.
Yeah, and they are putting some safe adjuvants in some of these fungicides already. So there is some level of adjuvant in there. And I agree with Brian. Just take the take the adjuvant out. Then he said, all right, at tasseling time, what kind of rate are you using at this point? Is it full rate? If they're just before tassel, is it the same?
Yes.
Yeah, they're big plants. They're big plants, yep. Michael. He said it's going to be a helicopter. They don't want to come back multiple times over these different hybrids. That's why he was asking the timing question. And then also, with that, with the hail that came, what do we think about how soon after a hail would we like to be out there in corn? How soon would we like to be out there in soybeans? I look at it this way. When you've got tasseled out corn, it's done growing vegetatively. It's not putting out any more new leaves.
Right.
So you can start spraying the fungicide at any point.
Yep.
With the soybeans, they are going to keep growing. So there's going to be a bunch of new leaves out there. And a lot of times the research will show you want to wait at least a week or two here. And I shouldn't say two probably, but at least a week and let some regrowth come out there so you've got something to land that fungicide on. Just depends on how bad those beans are tore up.
Right. The other thing I'll say, we see better stands. We see improved plant health when fungicide is sprayed after hail. We do not always see yield gain. But if standability is a big deal to you, harvestability is a big deal to you, and you want the crop to look nicer, then those are reasons to spray the fungicide. But it's still a little hit or miss if you're going to have enough yield gain to make it pay. All depends on what diseases show up later.
All right. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Got a little feedback here. This one's from Patrick. And he said, in 2019, rootworm beetles were the worst that I have ever seen in my area. This year, I sprayed insecticide after planting, wiped out all the rootworm beetles and 99% of the vine borers in my pumpkin crop from May through August. It wasn't till late September that I started seeing a few adult corn rootworm beetles, and they may have come over from the neighbors. Even with the drought that we had this year, pumpkin yields, best they've ever been. Wanted to thank you for your seminar that you had earlier this year on soil fertility. I used what I learned to address some of the deficiencies in my ground, and I might still make my net profit per acre goals even with 2020's year. Hey, thanks a lot, Patrick. Really appreciate the feedback. Thanks for coming to the workshop, too. And then, here's the thing, too. A lot of people come to the workshops or listen to the radio show, but don't change anything. I have to applaud you. You went home, you made some changes, and I'm really glad that they worked out well for you. Thanks a lot, Patrick. Really appreciate that feedback. Thanks for checking us out, too. Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.